was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Is Walter Sterling a descendant of the Knights Templar? Ancient astronaut theorists say no.
Why do you think they get attracted to boobs?
Big boobs. Men love big boobs, right?
Yes, men love big boobs.
The first thing when they see a girl coming, so boobs sabse pehle dikhte. So you must be knowing that joke. It depends, a girl is coming or she's going.
Even I get attracted to boobs. Boobs are boobs.
I don't know the difference either. They don't like the fat in the body, but like somehow the bigger the boobs, the better. So I don't get it.
Was a little of that cut off at some point? Matt? Elena? All right, so we need to hear it again. We really need to hear it again. Let's do the whole production again.
Is Walter Sterling a descendant of the Knights Templar? Ancient astronaut theorists say no.
Why do you think they get attracted to boobs?
Big boobs. Men love big boobs, right?
Yes, men love big boobs. And I think I have big boobs.
Boobs, because the first thing when they see a girl coming, so boobs sabse pehle dikhte. So you must be knowing that joke. It depends, a girl is coming or she's going.
Even I get attracted to boobs. Boobs are boobs.
I don't know the difference either. They don't like the fat in the body, but like somehow the bigger the boobs, the better. So I don't get it.
Moon and joy, being a guy, having a girl like me.
All right, it's the fastest growing show in American radio. That's what was wrong. I had that up. Now I have this up. Ladies and gentlemen, technically, how does this sound? Matt, Elena, how does this sound? We sound okay now? Matt, Elena, do we sound okay now? All right. It's important to answer me within the hour. Otherwise, I'll just keep saying, does it sound all right? You know, it's incredible. This 100-year-old technology is a proven medium, yet on a regular basis, it challenges us because many of the pipes at the radio station are still steam-driven. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. This is live. I am live, and nude in the laundry room. I do this show from the laundry room.
Live and nude in the laundry room, Sterling on Sunday.
All right, and listen, I want to ask you, have you ever helped a celebrity? Have you ever helped a celebrity? I know that each of you has a celebrity moment where you've gone to a celebrity and asked for an autograph, probably for your kid. You probably stood in line for 2 hours to get an autograph from Big Time Rush. That James Maslow, I would go gay for James Maslow of Big Time Rush. You probably stood in line at some point to get an autograph from somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. Or maybe you stood in line to vote, and there in front of you was a celebrity. I was in line in New York City a couple years ago, and in front of me, in line to vote, and I mean in the rain and the cold for an hour, was Barbara Streisand. And she was standing there in a dumb hat, reading the New York Times, of course. God forbid it be the Daily News. That would just be terrible. And there she was. I'm not talking about those brushes with celebrities. Have you had moments when you've actually helped a celebrity, where you've helped a celebrity? A celebrity needed something, and you helped them. Here's my phone number, 888-688-9258. Yes, I will tell you my stories, 888-688-9258. It's 10 past the hour, and it does bring up the question, are all the grown-ups in bed now? Have all the grown-ups gone to bed? That's good, because it's just you and me, and we get to tell each other our stories. This is story time. Over the urban campfire, that radio glowing on your dashboard. Here we are. It's just us. It's the best time of day. I love being on the radio now.
Well, you know, you could do mornings. It's sort of like a morning show at midnight. That's the sort of show you do.
No, I have no interest in doing mornings. I pity and respect every morning man in America, every morning host in America. I respect them. Congratulations to you. I never want to do a morning show. Now, there's no fear of that. I can barely get a Sunday night show, but there's no fear of me getting a morning show because I couldn't do it, and I wouldn't do it. I have so much respect for those who can do it, like Lee Harris on 1010 Winds and Elvis Duran and Bill Wills on WTAM. These are great morning people. But I could never do it. I love being on the radio at this time. I was walking down Park Avenue in New York City about 10 years ago at about 9:30 at night. It was a beautiful night. It's a great night. And I see an ATM glowing in the dark, a Chase Manhattan Bank ATM. And I see there's a woman dressed like Park Avenue at the ATM. And she's having trouble. She is struggling with the ATM. She's having a tough time making it work. And she was dressed $20,000 worth of clothes. So whatever was in that ATM, it was important. And she needed to get money out. But it looked to me as though it was the first time she had ever touched an ATM. She was struggling. And I happened to be in a suit, and I did not look particularly scary. I walked up to this woman, and I said, "Do you need help? May I help you?" And she turned around and looked at me, and oh my gosh, it was Diana Ross. Why did you pick that part of the song when I said Diana Ross? There are all these great riffs, all these wonderful riffs. I think I'm a little concerned about your impressions of diversity. There's Diana Ross. And I helped Diana Ross work the ATM. I showed her how to do it. She got money out because Walter Sterling helped Diana Ross with the ATM. Well, that's when you've helped a celebrity. Have you ever helped a celebrity? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. This was Derby weekend, Kentucky Derby weekend. And my biggest help to a celebrity happened in 1984 on Derby Day when I went to the Kentucky Derby. If you ever have a chance to go to the Kentucky Derby, you have to go. It's the most remarkable event you could ever imagine. I'm at the clubhouse of the Kentucky Derby. How did Walter Sterling get into the clubhouse of the Kentucky Derby? It certainly wasn't on my notoriety, because the people in the clubhouse of the Kentucky Derby are the most famous, powerful people in the land today. If you're big and you're famous, if you're Rob Lowe, if you're Jennifer Aniston, you want to go to the Kentucky Derby, you do not go to the outfield or the infield or to the bleachers. You go to the clubhouse. Now, how did I get into the clubhouse of the Kentucky Derby? I was working for ABC, and ABC was broadcasting the Kentucky Derby. That's how I got in there. Now I'm in the clubhouse of the Kentucky Derby, and everybody is dressed spectacularly. It looks like Brooks Brothers on acid. That's what it is. It's all preppy clothes in the most outrageous colors. Let me describe the scene to you. Think of a celebrity you would have loved to have met. Okay, they were there. And now I'm standing there, and the track announcer, the announcer for the ABC broadcast, had marked my sheet, my racing sheet, had marked who should I bet on, who's going to win place and show for each race of the Kentucky Derby. Because the Kentucky Derby is one race out of, what is it, 9 races that run that day. They start around noon. And the Derby is race 9, and it's at 6:41 in the evening. And by 6:41 in the evening, ladies and gentlemen, that clubhouse is marinated in Maker's Mark. That clubhouse is marinated in Maker's Mark and adrenaline and testosterone. And everybody's ready to do whatever you could ever imagine. They want to bet on the horses. They want to sleep with the 10 women near them. They want to sleep with the 10 rich guys near them. It is the horniest place on earth, other than a freshman fraternity in October. The Kentucky Derby is like a freshman fraternity in October with 52-year-old guys who have $20 million in the bank. I was not one of those guys, but I knew how to dress like one of those guys. Now I'm in the clubhouse of the Kentucky Derby. And it was a magnificent May day. It was like 68 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. It was Derby Day. And you can't imagine the spectacle. I can't begin to describe this spectacle, because in front of you is this astonishing palette of colors and humanity and wealth, crazy wealth. And I have a track sheet. I have a racing sheet, which shows me each race and who's running. But the track announcer, the person doing the race for ABC, had marked it for me and shown me who to bet on. And now I hear this voice next to me. And this voice next to me says, well, do you know something about this? And I look, and it's President Jimmy Carter. I'm standing in the Kentucky Derby clubhouse in the Churchill Downs clubhouse, and there's a real Southerner next to me, President Jimmy Carter. Now, I don't care what you think about what any of these clowns have done. You're standing next to the President of the United States. That's a very big day. That's a very big deal. Now, President Carter looks and says, you know what you're doing? And I got to help a celebrity. I looked at him and I said, do you want to bet on a race, President Carter? Yes, I do. Who are you going to bet on in the next race? And I told him. And I seemed very official and knowing, but he thought I had marked the racing sheet. I had not. A man who devoted his life to the Kentucky Derby and to races had marked my betting sheet. He goes and places a bet. And what happens? He wins. The President of the United States won based on my tip. Now, he's standing much closer to me. He's standing there, and he looks like a happy guy. And he raises the stakes in our relationship. He says, Roslyn, come here. I want you to meet my inside man. Whoa. Well, now it's serious. When the President of the United States calls over his wife and says, you're his inside man, this is a very significant moment. Now Rosalind's looking a little askance at me, but she's dressed like Peachtree, and she smells like Peachtree mist in July. Magnificent looking woman. Well, who are you going to bet on? And I tell her, I say, well, let's bet on this one. All right, so the Carters place their bets at Churchill Downs on Kentucky Derby Day based on what Walter Sterling tells them to do. There I am with the president, and people who work with me at ABC are looking like on their elbow in each other and go, is that your buddy there, Walter? And I'm like, yes, this is President Carter and his lovely wife, Rosalind. We're very close. And they bet. And they win. They win the second time. And now we're intimate. We're planning barbecues. We're hoping our children will meet each other, even though I wasn't even married and I didn't have children. We're hoping our children will meet each other. We're planning visits to the Southern Mansion, to the Southern White House in the outskirts of Atlanta. We're as close as it could get. I am helping a celebrity. It's an eleemosynary event. There's an SAT word for you. Now I give them what I would bet on the third race. And now the Carters go and place their bet on the third race based on my recommendations. President Carter, Rosalind Carter, you can't imagine the wealth that's in the clubhouse at Churchill Downs and how great everyone smells and how everybody has a Maker's Mark or a Jack Daniels in their hand. They all have these mint juleps and they're eating canapes, and all the women are unbelievably gorgeous and all the men look as good as they could possibly look. The smell of Rogaine is in the air. They bet on the third race based on Walter Sterling's recommendation, and what happens? They lose! They lose! And I'm like, oh, well, we lost a race. It wasn't a big deal. We lost a race. And I'm standing there going, and I'm speaking to them. Well, it's unfortunate that we lost this race, and, you know, there's another race coming up. We lost the race. And I realized at that moment that I was speaking to thin air. I was speaking to nobody, because the minute the Carters lost, based on my recommendation, what did they do? They acted like politicians talking to someone who could do nothing for them. They disappeared. They were nowhere to be seen. My close friends, the Carters, were nowhere to be seen after I told them a race result, and they lost. There was just vaguely hanging in the air the vague sense of a scent of a Peachtree cologne, that Mr. Carter was wearing Peachtree perfume that Mrs. Carter was wearing, and that was all I had left of our nascent relationship. That was how I helped a celebrity. Have you ever helped a celebrity? Let's talk. I am live at 888-688-9258. That's my phone number, 888-688-9258. WALT. That spells 9258. And this is Sterling on Sunday. Is that the return that I said don't play? Is that what I just heard? Hi, it's Walter Sterling on Sunday night. Sterling on Sunday. And I told you this incredible story of how I helped President Carter bet at the Kentucky Derby. And after he won the first race, we were so close, he invited over his wife. And then he won the second race, and we were like inviting each other over to the Southern White House. And we were getting close. Now we're at three races. He won three races based on my recommendations. And then we bet on the fourth one. And what happened? They lost. And the minute they lost, I'm talking to them and talking to them. We're having a nice conversation, except, I'm alone. The minute the Carters lost a race based on my recommendation, they were gone. They disappeared. I also helped Diana Ross learn how to work an ATM. It's fascinating stuff. What celebrity have you helped? I know you have helped a celebrity. I'm not talking about getting an autograph or seeing them at the airport. I'm talking about a moment where you actually helped a celebrity. And there's Marlene in Virginia. What station are you listening on, Marlene? What station are you listening on?
WMAL.
Isn't that the best station? Bill Hess, the program director who never returns my phone calls or emails, he runs that station, and it's a brilliant sounding station. I think I've kissed up pretty good there, Marlene. Please tell us the time you helped a celebrity. Please tell us the time you helped a celebrity. Start that story from scratch. It's a great story, but try to get to the end of it before midnight.
Okay. I was walking home from work one day, and there was a gentleman that was on the sidewalk. And one knee was up, and the left leg was down with the knee on the sidewalk. And I went over to him, and I says, "Can I help you?" I says, "Did you have an accident? What happened?" He says, "I don't know." I says, "Well, is it your back? Is it your leg? Is it your knee?" You know, he said, "It's more or less like the back of my knee." So I said, "Okay, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to get behind you, put my arms around your waist, and drag you over to this 3-foot wall." And he said, "No, don't do that." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because I work in that building." And he says, "I don't want anybody to see me." So I said, "Okay." So I went down a little way, and I saw the distance of where I was going to drag him, and it was in front of a nursing home. So there were chairs there and so forth. So I literally helped him up and dragged him. And I said, "Put your toes up in the air," and I said, "Put your heels on the ground while I'm dragging you." And he said, "Okay." So I bent down and I looked at him again, and I said, "Mr. Rogers." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Fred Rogers." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, my God." And I start humming, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." He said, "No, it isn't."
No, Marlene, it wasn't. Marlene, it definitely wasn't. Thank you so much for that story, Marlene. Thank you so much for that story. I want to know how you have helped a celebrity. What have you done to help a celebrity? They give so much to us. They give so much to us. What have you done to help a celebrity? Here's my number, 888-688-9258. I'm not talking about brushes with celebrities or begging them for autographs or all those other loser stories you tell at Thanksgiving. Let's talk about when you've leaned in and helped a celebrity. There's Eric Rhodes. Eric Rhodes is a very powerful man in American media. He started a publication called Radio Inc., I-N-K, and covered the medium in a very positive, interesting, sort of ass-kissing way. Now, Eric has transformed both his life and his career to two things. One, he has transferred his talents and capabilities to putting out a publication and books based on something he's really interested in. And more interesting to me, he didn't do it when he was 20. He did it much later in life. And the third thing is, he's making a ton of money. Now, I know you don't fit in. You and I don't fit in. Anybody listening to me right now, we're not fitting in, right, Keith Mortensen? We're very special people. We're different. We're unique. We like working the second shift. We like working the third shift. I would hate being a morning man. Nothing worse. But there's Eric Rhodes, who's figured it out. You have figured it out how, after you're 30 or 40 or maybe 50, you have figured out how to transfer your career to something you're passionate about and make a lot of money with it. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Walter.
Eric, what were you doing and what did you transfer to? What did you shift your interest to in midlife that to you was far more interesting and passionate?
Well, midlife is just an opinion, right? Because I think it's just the beginning. Everybody has their own timing, and it took me a while. Like you said, you know, I'm just kind of one of those guys, too. I don't fit in. I never fit in. And I was trying for many, many years to make a buck and really working hard at it and following all the advice everybody gave me. And, you know, I just wasn't making any money. And by the way, I still love the radio industry. And I still own publications in the radio industry. But finally, I kind of gave up and said, you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to go after the money. I'm going to just do what I love and be around people I love and focus on helping those people with what I know. And I think that's really where the reinvention started. It kind of was a slap in the face. I had the 20th anniversary of this radio publication, Radio Inc., and I kind of had one of those epiphany moments when, wait a minute, I've been doing this for 20 years, and at the same time I thought, well, wait, I have less money in the bank today than I did 20 years ago. Something's wrong with this picture. So I sat down with myself and I said, I've got to do something. My wife, in the meantime, chimed in and she said, you know Dave Ramsey, the radio talk show host? And I said, yeah. She says, well, you know him personally, don't you? I said, well, you know, we're acquainted. And she said, well, he's doing this thing called the Entre Leadership Conference. You need to go. And I said, honey, you know, I've been in business for 30 or 35 years. I don't need to go to that. She said, well, what if you can learn something new? I said, well, I'll go to make you happy. And there were a lot of things in that that opened my eyes to new ways of doing things. The biggest was reinvention. And the other big was being generous in everything that I did and looking for a way to instead of take, it was kind of give. And so I went to that, and then I started my reinvention process. And instead of doing the same things that I've always done, I realized I need to get exposed to new things. And so what I did is I went around to different conferences and different industries, trying to learn from other people and finding out what they were doing, because I figured I don't want to be Einstein, repeat the same mistake, expecting different results, right? So in 5 years' time, my little company just absolutely took off. And so we became 3 years in a row on the Inc. 500, 5,000 list, one of the fastest growing companies in America. And it was because of this reinvention and this spirit of generosity and really trying to focus on doing what I love and helping people. And I think that's what it all boils down to is.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. Doing what I love. You didn't answer my question. And the question was, what is it that you have focused on? Because it's an amazing thing you have focused on, because it is the least likely way to make money.
Well, you didn't ask that question. You just thought you did. I can give you a little bit of grief, right? We've known each other a few hundred years. The thing I focused on was art. I started painting. My wife gave me an art lesson for my 40th birthday. I'm 63 now, and so about 20 years ago, I started learning how to paint, and it took me a little while to get used to it. As a matter of fact, I got really, really frustrated in the process, and I realize now why so many people start out trying to learn an art or craft or something like that, and then they get frustrated because nobody's figured out how to teach them properly. So one of the things I did, surprisingly, that has helped me a lot and helped a lot of other people is I came up with a product that helps people learn how to paint real easily. It simplifies the process. It's like, you know, when I'm out painting, I go outdoor painting a lot. I set up in a park or something, and people will walk up to me and they'll say, you know, I wish I could do that, but I don't have any talent. I can't even draw a stick figure. And I said, that was me.
You go back to this light.
So anyway, that's kind of how I did it.
you've managed to make a living from art. I have a 12-year-old daughter. She is a gifted artist. And now she's saying things, I have to learn something else because I don't want to be a starving artist. And I look at her and I say, you don't have to be a starving artist. You could be a wealthy artist. Eric, why don't you tell me the name of the book you just put out and some of the key facts about how to not be a starving artist?
Well, the starving artist myth comes from Van Gogh because he only sold two paintings in his lifetime. All of his success came 80 or 100 years after his death. The book is called Make More Money Selling Your Art, Proven Techniques for Turning Your Passion into Profit. You know, artists, people who find art inside themselves don't necessarily have business skills. And so essentially the book kind of walks them through some real simple processes they can follow that will help them pick up the business skills, pick up how to create a brand that will make them popular, how to create a brand that will help them sell for more money, how to essentially make people want to buy their art. And it works for any kind of art. I know you do photography, for instance, and it can be photography, it can be crafting, it can be pot holders. It doesn't matter. And I think so many of us have so much art inside of us, but we don't make the leap. We don't go that direction because we're afraid of this Van Gogh syndrome where we think we're going to starve. I know artists. I got picked up recently by an artist in a brand new Mercedes. It was incredible, one of the top of the line cars. He's got two or three homes. He's making a ton of money. I know a lot of artists who are making great livings. They're living their dream. They're out traveling, doing what they want to do. They're out painting. And, you know, it's not always about the money either. It's about the dream. So what I do in this book is I start out with kind of helping people figure out, and by the way, it doesn't really matter if you're an artist or anything else, kind of help them figure out what's your dream, how do you turn that dream into a reality, what are the steps, and so we really go through this whole process with people to really help them refine what they want to do and then how they get from, you know, what they have in their head to get it on paper and then get it actually into implementation. And as a result from doing this, I've literally helped thousands, and I'm not joking, thousands of artists. I've watched artists go from, I have one artist that follows me who went from ready to file bankruptcy to now building a beautiful brand new home and studio and making a lot of money and traveling the world and having a ball. So
Eric
that's
Rhodes,
what it's really
about. That is what it's about. Eric Rhodes, what's the name of the book?
The book is called Make More Money Selling Your Art.
Make More Money Selling Your Art. I have posted on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. I have just sent it out on Twitter, and I thank you very much. Thank you so much, Eric Rhodes, for writing always really nice articles about me and for putting out this important book, because I have so many friends who are actors and artists and photographers, and there's this giant chasm between their skill set and their ability to monetize it. And your book has done a great deal to help that. Thank you, Eric Rhodes. Thank you very much. This is Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. I have too much to do tonight. Are you ready? I have too much to do tonight. I'm going to share with you exactly what happened to that Malaysia flight. We're going to talk to one of the most successful entrepreneurs who ever lived. I'm going to share with you information about self-driving cars, why it's just the worst idea I've ever heard, and a woman who divorces her husband because she isn't getting enough sex. And Larry Wax from our Southeast Bunker will share with you the latest conspiracy theories. And I'm going to share with you one of the many, many times that I did not feel that I fit in. One of the many times I did not feel that I fit in. There's Jonathan in North Carolina. You helped a celebrity, Jonathan, 888-688-9258. Hi, Jonathan.
How you doing, Mr. Walter?
Hey.
How are you today?
Are you listening on Wave? Is that the station you're listening on?
WAAV 980 AM, that's it.
Our brand new affiliate that's going to get me a home at the Outer Banks for 2 weeks. I swear to gosh, I'm going to just pound them until we get to do a remote from Wave at the Outer Banks like the third week in July. Tell me your story, Jonathan.
Yes, I'm a musician. I've been playing music since I was 4 years old. So when I when I finished high school, I ended up getting a job playing with a national recording group on CBS Records. You probably heard of them, the Manhattans. They had a song called Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye.
And you played with the Manhattans? You played with the Manhattans?
Yes, I did.
Congratulations. You're the first famous person who's actually called the show. Now tell me your story.
Oh, my God. Anyway, what had happened was, you know, they were always around celebrities. You know, we did a lot of shows with different people, big names. And this one year, we went to Tokyo, Japan for the Tokyo Music Festival. And we were staying at the Tokyo Prince Hotel, and there was a lot of celebrities staying there. One day, I got on the elevator going up to my room, and you know how you get on the elevator and everybody's on there, and then you say, hey, okay, what floor? You know, I was at the front, so I started, okay, 5, 6, okay, and I started punching in all the numbers. So it turns out when my other guitar player was with me, we were actually I actually punched the floors for Sammy Kahn and Priscilla Presley. They were on the elevator.
All right, Jonathan, thank you so much for the call. Jonathan helped Priscilla Presley and Sammy Kahn by punching the elevator buttons. There you go. 888-688-9258. How have you helped a celebrity? 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday. I shared with you the amazing story about how I helped President Jimmy Carter learn how to bet on the Kentucky Derby, and everything went just fine until he lost. And then, mid-sentence, he disappeared.
Doesn't fit in. Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-9258. Tell me how you have helped a celebrity. How have you helped a celebrity? Everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to play the cash call jackpot and win a prize announcement if you can identify this voice.
I think you're so amazing. You save people's lives and take zero credit for it.
Yes, I do. 888-688-9258. There's Jonathan listening on WLS in Chicago, home of Steve Dahl. Hello, Jonathan. How have you helped a celebrity?
Well, hi. First of all, this is the laundry room. Okay. So I have I helped Red Buttons. Maybe you remember. I don't know if he's been gone for about 12 years. He died about 12 years ago. But Red Buttons was doing a stage play in Chicago at the Blackstone Theater. And at the time I was 19 years old, my girlfriend was waiting to see him at the stage door outside and hoping to say hello to him. And I waited in the car at the curb for her, and she got to say hi to him. And he says, hey, could you give me a ride? And so she said, John, can we give him a ride? I said, sure, come on in. Now, the funny part about this is it was a 1961 Chevy Corvair with the engine in the back, and it was a two-seater. And so she had to climb into the back, and he said, and being a college student, there were things wrong with the car, including the fact that the bucket seat he was sitting in would slide as I would shift the gears, and there was a hole in the floorboard, and it had just
rained. But it was a ride.
So warned him. It was what?
You saved.
I warned him that if the water splashes up inside of the car, I am really sorry about that. And he says, oh, it's no problem. So we took off, and sure enough, the seat started sliding forward and then back again. And I said, I warned you, this seat will really move you. And she laughs. She says, oh, please. And he says, no, I like that. I could use that. So he was a comedian, an actor of movies. He had his own TV show.
He was a huge star. Therefore, you get to guess. You get to guess. The cash call jackpot sound. Who is this?
I think you're so amazing. You save people's lives and take zero credit.
For a prize announcement, who is that?
Okay, that was not... I'm not really sure. I'm sorry. I can't think of who that is.
Hey, thanks so much for calling. Great to have you call. Thanks, Jonathan. Listening on WLS, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
In Sterling on Sunday. Doesn't fit in Sterling on Sunday.
Now, because I'm only on once a week, because program directors don't have a sense of humor, I love getting your emails. And every single email I get, Annie Knupp, and there's my friend Amanda Benson and Amanda Datz, I love the emails. Send me an email. Every email I get gets answered. Oh, there's Mr. Sneakers and Karen.
I'm Stacy, and I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. I'm Stacy.
Yes, and Frankie Reds, these are all my mistakes. I'm just too tired to do the show tonight. I can't push the buttons.
I'm Stacy, and I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com.
Every email I get, I answer. There's Frankie Reds and Robert Gaw. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Well, let's see. We have too much to do. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Adam Baselager. Now, Adam Baselager has done something that you and I have fantasized about doing for years. No, not that. Not that thing in Vegas at KXNT. Not that. He has started a successful business. And there's nothing I hate more than idiots who write self-help books about how to start your own business, how to be your own boss, because they're not true. As somebody who has started his own business, some of them successful, some of them not, I can tell you that those self-help books are full of crap. That's why I like to talk to the real deal. I like to talk to someone who has started a business and their pain and suffering that they have gone through to do it. So we're going to talk to Adam Baselager in just seconds. However, first I need to talk about Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas is a very special place. There are three things in Texas that they don't have any place else. They have tea. You may call it iced tea, but in Texas they just call it tea. Best place to get tea is at Luby's. If you go to New York City and you say to a restaurant, "Do you have iced tea?" 9 times out of 10 they'll say, "No, we don't." And then I say, "Do you have tea?" "Yes." "Do you have ice?" "Yes." "Then you have iced tea." But in Texas, it's an art. Iced tea in Texas is spectacular. The other thing that they have in Texas they don't have any place else is Mexican food. Don't give me that nonsense about California Mexican food. There's too much rice. And there's no Mexican food in New York City. What do they have in New York City? Pizza and Chinese food. Best in the world. But they have no Mexican food. Don't tell me about some truck you know in Queens. Forget it. The fact is that in Dallas, Texas, they have the best tea, and they have the best Mexican food, and the most insanely gorgeous women in the freaking world are in Dallas, Texas. And you know what else they got in Dallas? They have a great radio station, WBAP.
WBAP 820, the station to depend on. There's a special kind of feeling.
Good jingle.
And a
good
quiet
jingle.
Kind of ride. West End to the stockyards, or a Six Flags ride. Rangers, Mavericks, Cowboys, there's so much to see and do. But the special part lives in the heart of North Texas, just like you. And WBAP 820, you are the best.
Unbelievable. Who would ever play a one-minute jingle on a radio show? I did. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and there's Adam Baselager. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
Adam, you must be very excited to be on 5 50,000-watt radio stations right now, plus WGOW in Chattanooga, where you live. How long have you lived in Chattanooga?
I've lived here for about 6 or 7 years, ever since I graduated college.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Lee University. It's about 25 miles from Chattanooga here.
All right. Now, the great thing about Adam Baselager is that you started a business from scratch. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And were you rich?
No, I was a poor college student. I grew up in the Midwest. And, just started the business literally from nothing, right around... You know, I did a little bit in high school when I had absolutely no money. It was just a way to...
Where in the Midwest?
So, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Got it. All right. So from Green Bay, Wisconsin, to Lee College, your father forgot to leave you an annuity.
I know.
They forgot to leave you a mansion, and so you started a business from scratch. The name of Adam's business that he started from scratch is LegacyBox.com/Walter. Don't put any other slash or code in there. It's LegacyBox.com/Walter. You and I have talked about this business. He's not on here because he's a advertiser, because there are many advertisers on this show, and you'll notice they're not here. He's here because Adam is a young guy who from scratch started a business. And the only way you and I are ever going to fit in is if we own our own business. And I look for people who started from nothing and suffered. Did you suffer, Adam, as you were starting LegacyBox.com/Walter? Did you suffer?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that starts anything from scratch, you know, there's lots of times of doubt. There's times where, you know, I kind of hedged. So I was like, well, you know, if this doesn't work out in a month or two, I'll have to, like, start all over. But, I mean, I think that's one of the benefits of being, you know, being young and being able to start a business, but also maybe, like, even being here in America is, like, even if I would fail back then, like, where, you know, you can still land. You have usually a family support structure, or, like, you can reset. And so I think it was worth the risk back in those days.
Legacy Box is a business that allows you and me to take our guilt box out of the closet. Our guilt box has the Super 8 movies and the VHS tapes and the cassettes and all of the media that you and I can't watch anymore, but it has the most valuable memories, the graduations, the baptism, the bar mitzvahs, the bat mitzvahs, the proms, the weddings, and it's sitting in a box because I don't even have most of the equipment to watch those things anymore, the video disc.
Right.
And what they do at Legacy Box is you put it in a safe box, a free mailer box. You go online to LegacyBox.com/Walter. Don't put in any other stupid name. Walter. LegacyBox.com/Walter and ask for the free mailer box. Get the box. You don't have to do anything else. Then as you're cleaning and spring cleaning, you start to fill the box with important videos, photographs, microcassettes. Those microcassettes, that was a bad idea, wasn't it? And the audio tapes. And you send it to Adam's company, Legacy Box, and they will digitize it, put it on a thumb drive or a DVD. And yes, it preserves it, but it, frankly, Saran Wrap will too. It does something more important than preserve it. It makes it accessible, accessible, accessible. You get to retrieve it. Now, how long ago did you start Legacy Box, Adam?
I think we're almost at 10 years. So, 10 years digitizing old home media for people all across America.
How many people have you helped? How many customers have you had in 10 years?
Yeah, right now we're at 450,000, which is crazy. But, I mean, the early days, it was – I remember watching – we had this order page, and we'd watch each order come in, and it would take like a week to get 25 orders, and then the page would go to the next page. And now we're just doing – we're doing the service for thousands of people each week.
How many people do you have working for you?
We have about 150 people here in Chattanooga that are working for me and my business partner, Nick.
Now, regardless of the business, Adam Baselager, regardless of the business, share with us two or three pieces of advice that you wish you had had when you started Legacy Box, when you went out as an entrepreneur, you started working for yourself. Share with us two or three pieces of advice that could help us prevent pain and suffering.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is just to go for it, you know, like find a simple need and just fulfill that need. I think I've watched a lot of business people or colleagues or people in this sort of entrepreneurial scene that think they kind of have to have it all put together. And the truth is you don't. Like, we were bootstrapped. We didn't take any money from anyone. Like, literally, we had a few hundred dollars, and we're like, okay, what's a small small marketing test that we could try, or how do we just continue to keep offering this? At the end of the day, it's a really simple service. You know, we're digitizing. Like, a lot of people know how to digitize. There were things that you could buy to help you digitize, but we're like, you know what, if people don't know how to set the time on their VCRs, the odds are they're probably not going to be able to figure out how to digitize. And so it was that first step of just saying, you know what, this is a need, this is a service we can provide, and so we just did it. And it was really slow to start. So I think that's the first piece of advice, is just, like, start. Just get out there and do something. And then I think the second piece is just, you have to, at the end of the day, you just have to have, like, a distinct perspective or opinion that, like, you're going to succeed. And so I remember a lot of people would kind of shoot down our idea, or say it didn't have scale, or say that we'd run out of videotapes to digitize. I still hear that every single week. It's kind of, I find it funny because there were billions of home movies recorded in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s through 2000s. And so I think it's just not to doubt yourself. Like if you have an idea and a customer is willing to pay for it, like, you just need to find one or two to start, and then you can just multiply them.
What do you wish somebody had told you before you started your business, before you started Legacy Box as an entrepreneur, self-funded? What do you wish somebody had said to you, by the way, beware of this?
I think we kind of got fortunate, but, like, I think to run a business well, you need to make sure that in your, like, your business model, and that's probably too jargony because I probably didn't know what a business model was back in the day, but I would say just make sure that as you're doing your napkin math on what you'd charge for a customer or charge to a customer, you know, you should probably lean into charging them a little more than you think. You know, I'm like a values guy, and so, like, I always want, like, the lowest cost, or I really want to get a lot of value. But so I think we start off maybe charging a little too less. So I'd say just come in with a good price and leave some room for some marketing dollars. Because at the end of the day, like, if you really want to grow the business beyond sort of a little operation, you do have to seed a little money into marketing. And so you just need to make sure you have that kind of baked in from day one. Even if you're running a little lawn care service, you know, there's got to be a few dollars out of every $100 you get allocated for marketing.
You know, what's amazing to me is how many venture capitalists you go to a Shark Tank kind of guy, yeah. And you say, okay, here's my idea. And you say, and I need money for marketing. And they always beat the crap out of you for saying you need marketing money. Venture capitalists hate it when you say you need marketing money, but you are absolutely right. Adam Baselager, you are absolutely right. In order to make any business work, it needs marketing. It needs a plan to market, and it needs marketing money. And you are, and I have to say this, you are incredibly successful at marketinglegacybox.com/Walter on the radio. Tell me why you like the radio. I am obligated by law to ask you why you like the radio.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, I think there's lots of shiny objects, right, that any business person can chase. And so, you know, like, you could advertise on Facebook, or you could do all these digital marketing avenues. I think for us, radio, you know, at the end of the day, it does come down to a little bit of a math equation. And so we're always making sure that we get really good value for the media that we buy. But we've found that radio just reaches this audience that's pretty captive. And for us, it works. And so we're super excited about radio. I think Legacy Box, there's a story to tell there. And so I think radio is a great medium to do that through. You know, like running a little image ad can be difficult sometimes. Radio lets us tell a story. It lets us convey value props. You know, I mean, even you were talking about describing the service and talking about all the different formats and the accessibility. I think we aren't able to convey that on a lot of other advertising channels. And so we're big fans of radio. It allows us to reach a new audience that we haven't. And we're, you know, we've been doing radio for just under 2 years, and it's we love radio. It's been fantastic for us.
Adam Baselager, who owns legacybox.com/Walter. You go to legacybox.com/Walter. And you order your free box, your free mailer box. By the way, nice box. And you put in your memories, your Super 8 movies, your VHS tapes, your cassettes, your micro cassettes, your photographs. They take all of that, they digitize it on a DVD or a thumb drive and send it back to you. And you can retrieve all the stuff that you wanted to see about the baptism. But the best gift to me, Adam, was that I got to see that, number one, I was skinny. And number two, I had very long hair. Very long hair. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much. Adam Baselager of legacybox.com/Walter. Coming up in just seconds, you know what time of year it is. It is memory time of year. It is prom time. And it is wedding time, and I've got two stories for you about that, and I want to hear about your best wedding story and your best prom story, and I need your advice. I got a 15-year-old who thinks she's going to get a $10,000 Sweet 16 party. I need your advice on how to handle that. Here's my number, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, Sterling on Sunday. All right, Walter M. Sterling, good evening, good evening.
Live and nude in the laundry room, Sterling on Sunday.
Listen to me. This can be either hard or very hard. Easy is not an option anymore.
888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. I am so thrilled that Warren Buffett compares Bitcoin to rat poison squared and says cryptocurrencies will come to a bad ending. Let me get this straight now. Bitcoins come from mines. Can I visit the mines? No. They were created by an imaginary man, maybe, who lived in China, maybe. They are sold by secret agents under mysterious circumstances. Can I buy anything with cryptocurrencies? Maybe soon. Cryptocurrencies will come to a bad ending, says Mr. Buffett. It essentially will not deliver anything other than a supposed scarcity. Thank God he said it. All right. My 15-year-old daughter wants a Sweet 16 party. And she said, this is going to be the biggest event of my life other than a wedding. I'm like, what? You know, when I think of a birthday party, I think of what? What? Balloons and a magician and cake. And you go home. No, she wants to rent a hall. She wants a DJ like Jim Kelly. She wants it catered. I said, what? And how many people are you going to have? About 75. How much will that cost? I said, if you're lucky, it's going to be $50 per person times 75. And you're going to have to rent the hall. And she's doing the math, and she's starting to realize this is a big deal. But she has her heart set on a big Sweet 16 party. What limits should I set for the Sweet 16 party? I'd like your advice. And anytime I've asked you for advice, especially with the 15-year-old, you've given me great advice. What advice do you have for me about how to deal with the aspirations of the Sweet 16 party? What is a reasonable Sweet 16 party for my oldest daughter? Help! 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sundays. Stories you'll hear on tomorrow's morning show.
All right. I now have my bologna sandwich.
No. That's a lot of bologna, what you just said to me.
See, that's show prep. I actually am eating a bologna sandwich, and I have appropriate audio.
No. That's a lot of bologna, what you just said to me.
The 15-year-old. Oh, and look at that. It's 30 past the hour. Now we're on KDKA, the first radio station in America. 1020 KDKA, Pittsburgh. And you know what they love in Pittsburgh? You know what they love in Pittsburgh more than anything else in America? It's pretty good bologna. They love lesbians.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
I was taking shots and then going out and then coming back home and taking shots and then going to sleep and then waking up and going to work and then just repeating it all. And now, because you don't drink, I barely drink. So the fact that she just finished an entire bottle of champagne by herself, first question. Are you ready? Okay, how drunk are you?
I put laundry in, though.
Drunk. Was that before? On a scale of 1 to 10, how drunk are you right now? You can't play fetch with Moose right now. That's a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. How drunk are you right now? like a 6.5, 7.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
Cool and joy.
Is Walter Stirling a descendant of the Knights Templar? Ancient astronaut theorists say no.
Live and nude in the laundry room, Stirling on Sunday.
Oh, this is so much work. These pushing these buttons is exhausting. And coming up in just seconds, we're going to hear from Larry Wax in the Southeast Conspiracy Bunker, who has astonishing information about hashtag QAnon, the hottest hashtag on Twitter. It's blowing up. He follows it. He has information other people don't have. That's coming up in seconds on Stirling on Sunday. But the big issue in my life is not Robert Mueller, who, by the way, makes $275,000 a year to look like the guy who's going to keep you out of the country club. As best I can tell, the Republicans are the guys who want to keep me out of the country club, and the Democrats are the ones who think that it is elitist to join a country club. So exactly who joins the country club? Who gets to join the... But that Robert Mueller, he looks like a miserable guy. I don't care what he does. I don't understand what he does. I didn't see anybody with Borscht at the election. I didn't see anybody bribing me with Nikita, with Lolita Nikita, saying, oh, if you come here and you vote for this man, it'll be good for Russia. It's a lot of crap. It's so much crap. And just stop it. But I hate the way Robert Mueller looks, doesn't he? He just looks like a nasty man. Just in that, like the guys on the X-Files, the secret government, the deep state on the TV show, the X-Files. He looks like one of those guys. So stop it. Just stop it. But I looked up, what does he make? What does he earn? He makes like $275,000 a year to be a miserable son of a gun. That's what he is. Waste of our time and money. I feel so much better now. I feel like a real talk show host. But, you know, the real talk show hosts, they can give that spiel for 3 hours a day. And I just don't see it's as important as what I have to deal with. And what I have to deal with is something I need your help with. I have a 15-year-old daughter who's smarter than I am, because they're all smarter than we are. She's 15 and a half. She's waiting to get her temps. She's waiting to get her temps. And we're not talking about, you know, the Temptations of my girl. She's waiting to get her driver's license temps. But she's also waiting for her sweet 16 party. Now, when I was growing up, carrying 20 miles of water a day, 10 gallons of water, 20 miles a day, and walking in the snow in July to school, there weren't these sweet 16 parties. This is an event that took place because of MTV. MTV invented these big spectacle events of sweet 16-year-old parties put on by rap stars and rock stars who have unlimited funds. You and I don't have unlimited funds. You and I have a credit line on the MasterCard that has run out. That credit card on the credit line on the MasterCard, that has run out. It's all done. We don't have that anymore. I want to know how to deal with my 15-year-old daughter's aspirations for having a $10,000 minimum sweet 16 party. It seems tacky to me. She wants to rent a hall, a disc jockey, catering. She wants to have it catered. She wants to have 75 people. And she said to me, should we have an open bar? No, we're not going to have an open bar. You can have soda. Well, could we get a bartender to pour the soda? Can we get Shirley Temples and make them look really cool? She's adding it up and adding it up. And, you know, there's a problem being a dad. The problem being a dad is you don't want to be hated. Now, I'm not one of those dads who you have to like me, but I'm not a timeout dad, and I'm not a punishing dad. I like to have conversations with my children. I like to run the logic path with my three daughters. That's how I prefer to deal with them. I hate to go to the house of timeout. I hate those families where they go, oh, you're going to have a timeout, or the stupidest question on earth is to ask an 8-year-old, do you want a timeout? What 8-year-old wants a timeout? And they have no concept of time. That's the best part. They have no concept of time, no idea what time is. And you say to an 8-year-old, you're going to have a 3-minute timeout. What? By the way, through my entire life, if my mother had ever said, go to your room, which she never did, but if she ever said, go to your room, that would have been the best thing ever. I thought that the Beach Boys song, In My Room, I thought it was a happy song. It wasn't until my mid-30s that I realized that it was a tragic song. I thought that was the best news possible, is that I'd be sent to my room where nobody would bother me. That's true to this day. My mistress in my marriage is solitude. Leave me the freak alone. I lust for solitude. I don't lust for the blonde down the street. I lust for solitude. But I digress. How do I deal with the aspirations of my 15-and-a-half-year-old daughter, who wants like a $10,000 Sweet 16 party? Advice, please. 888-688-9258. My phone number is 888-688-9258. There's Mrs. Sneakers, whose boyfriend is Mr. Sneakers. It's a whole scenario you don't want to know about. Welcome, Mrs. Sneakers. Hello.
Hi, Walter. Listen, I had a Sweet 16 party in 1966. And in 1966, I'm figuring we're about the same age. They were very fancy. They were in a hall or in a restaurant that you rented a room in and catered. Mostly women and your girlfriends were there. I didn't have a DJ, but it's a tradition. You have to give your daughter a nice Sweet 16 party. It's important. It's very important.
Well, Mrs. Sneakers, how much do you think I should spend for this nice Sweet 16 party?
I have no idea. And as far as I know, my parents probably took a loan out to make mine, which wasn't very fancy. It was at a restaurant, and it was catered, and I had my girlfriends there and some family there, and it was a wonderful time. I don't know what the tradition is now. I'm a lot older now, so I'm not connected with the 16-year-old community, but it's a very important event.
You really think it's that big a deal? I don't mean to sound naive, but I swear when I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago, it wasn't that big a deal. I swear MTV started televising these rap star Sweet 16 parties where they spent $250,000, and I think that pushed along the trend.
No. I had my Sweet 16 way before that, and it was just a wonderful event and an important event, and everybody had one. MTV doesn't have anything to do with it. Not in 1960s.
You don't think so? I swear it's all new to me, but I wasn't a girl, and I wasn't a girl then. I'm still not a girl now. Now, my question to you is, do you want to play the cash call jackpot?
Sure.
All right. You could win a prize announcement if you can identify this voice.
I think you're so amazing. You save people's lives and take zero credit for it.
Mrs. Sneakers, who do you think that is?
I'm a loser. I have no clue.
No, you're not a loser. You're a winner for calling Sterling on Sunday. Thank you so much for being my friend, and thanks for calling, Mrs. Sneakers, at 888-688-9258. That's 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. I need your advice. What is a reasonable amount of money to spend for a Sweet 16 party for my daughter? I have no clue. I never went to a girl's Sweet 16 party as a kid. I have never gone to one as an adult. I have no idea. And when she started describing it, I'm thinking, that's a wedding. They're talking about the price of a wedding. And then when she said, this will be the second biggest event of my life other than my wedding. And I'm looking at her and she's 15 wearing my Hawaiian shirt. And I'm borrowing money for gas to take her to dance lessons. And she wants this big party, and I don't want to be a jerk. And I really don't know what to do. 888-688-9258. What are the reasonable expectations for a Sweet 16 party? What did you do? Now, coming up in just seconds, we're going to have Larry Wax. And Larry Wax is going to share with us information from the Southeast Bunker, the conspiracy bunker. He follows on Twitter QAnon, hashtag QAnon. It's a fascinating big event on Twitter, and he'll give us more information about that. Plus, in just an hour, I'm going to share with you one of the many tragic stories of when I realized that I did not fit in. And every week I start to think about this show, and I think, gee, do I have any more stories about when I didn't fit in? And then it comes to me that my entire life is the story of how I did not fit in, but it gives you the opportunity to share your life when you didn't fit in. How did things go for you when you didn't fit in? Why don't I hear that on the radio? Because when best friends talk, what they usually talk to each other about is, I don't know how to get along with them. I can't deal with him at work. I can't deal with her at work. It's about fitting in. That's what most people talk about most of the time, plus the stupid shows on Netflix. Why are all the shows on Netflix British? It's painful. I digress. Here's Larry Wax. Larry, what are you going to talk about that's exploding on Twitter this week? Hi, Larry.
Well, as you know, Kanye West, Walter, was in the news because he told people that slavery is a choice. This is very controversial. And because of that, there may be a contract put on Kanye's head. We'll talk about that and find out what Kanye is really up to. Plus, new revelations in the Stormy Daniels affair. Will Trump be impeached because of these revelations? We'll find out next on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, Sterling on Sunday with Larry Wax coming up in just seconds. Plus, I need your advice on how to handle my 15-year-old daughter's expectations for her sweet 16 party, because I don't have a clue. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Everybody who calls in gets a chance at the cash call jackpot prize announcement. Sterling on Sunday.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
All right, it's a delicious mess tonight, a delicious mess. Walter M. Sterling on 5 50,000-watt radio stations, and more importantly, on many significant and important FM stations, including The Point in Guam. What is it? It's about 5 o'clock, 5:06 on Monday afternoon in Guam. For some reason, the station in Guam and the one in Peterborough, Canada, owned by John Paul, those particularly excite me because this is an international show. We are international. It's so stupid. Well, here we are, the Midnight Misfits. There's Ed Hirsch, Robert Gaw, Ann Knupp, Neil Paul, Robert Greenbaum, Ann Gress. Let's go down this list of Midnight Misfits who have joined us. Frankie Reds, did I mention him? And Mr. Sneakers. And Karen, and Rosemary Furlong, welcome. And there's Neil Paul and Judy Anderson, who got engaged on our show. They got engaged on our show live. And I kept saying, we have a major announcement, and then they got engaged, and some idiot in radio looked at me and said, so when's the major announcement going to happen? I'm like, Neil Paul and Judy Anderson got engaged on my show. That's the amazing announcement. Neil and Judy, you should invite us to the wedding. We will broadcast the wedding. I think that's what we should do. And that should give the sales department plenty of time this time to actually sell it. How the heck could they not sell that engagement? It's a mystery to me. I am broadcasting live from the laundry room. That's not a shtick. I'm actually broadcasting live from the laundry room. There's Janet in North Carolina. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing?
Now, let's see. You're listening on WAAV, our new affiliate in North Carolina. Hi.
Yes, that is correct.
That's a great station, by the way. That is a great radio
yes,
station.
Yes.
And it is the voice of the Outer Banks, and therefore I expect you or any of your friends who has a summer house in the Outer Banks right on the beach to invite me to broadcast from it. Because I'm going to bring my kids,
no.
And we're going to sit there for
no.
2 weeks. We're going to be there for 2 weeks, and we'll broadcast from it. What will that do for you? I will tell you. What it will do for you is what the homes in the Hamptons have. The homes in the Hamptons and Malibu have celebrity cachet. The homes on the Outer Banks have duck donuts. They have no celebrity cachet. I broadcast from your house on the beach in the Outer Banks. I announce I'm there. We bring in celebrities, and all of a sudden you have a celebrity home on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and there aren't any. It will add at least $100,000 to the value of the home. But I digress. Why did you call me at 888-688-9258?
Oh,
why did you call
me? Hey, you're so funny. I think I have the answer to your cash call. Yeah.
All right, wait. We have to play the actress. You want to guess who the actress is in the Cash Call Jackpot? Here's the actress.
I think you're so amazing. You save people's lives and take zero credit for it.
Janet, from The Wave in North Carolina, who do you think that is?
Well, I think it might be Amanda Seyfried from the movie Dear John.
She has incredible breasts, doesn't she? That Amanda Seyfried is gorgeous. It's stupid gorgeous how she is. Do you have lesbian feelings toward her? Do you have lesbian feelings toward
her? Oh, my God. Oh, God.
No, you don't. Janet, that's a great guess, and I really appreciate it's not correct, but I appreciate you calling. No, it's a great guess, and I appreciate you playing the Cash Call Jackpot. Do you have advice for me about my 15-and-a-half-year-old's Sweet 16 party? Do you have any guidelines or suggestions for me? Because she wants the royal wedding for her Sweet 16.
Well, you know, she sounds like a dear heart, and you should do something, and probably a little more than balloons and cake. And I don't think it's a peer pressure thing, too, because most of her friends probably have parties. And you can, you know, have a meeting with her and discuss that you can't spend $10,000, but, you know, I think you should have something. It would be nice. And you're
Janet,
16
I really...
only once.
I wouldn't remember, but thank you very much. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate you listening on The Wave, our new affiliate in North Carolina. Thank you, Janet. Thank you for giving me advice about the Sweet 16 party, and I need your advice. And my number is 888-688-9258. That's 888-688-WALT. Well, I'm always attracted to anything that doesn't fit in, and I have a new story for you about when I didn't fit in. And I'd like to know when you first knew you didn't fit in, maybe at school or work or with the other kids or with the grown-ups. When did you know? What was the feeling the first time you went, oh, wait a minute, I'm the third wheel. I don't fit in. Your parents didn't tell you that. Your parents tried to do everything they could to make you feel comfortable. But at some point in your life, you realized you didn't fit in. Let's share that. You're listening to me right now. You don't fit in. Normal people, sound asleep. You're on your way to the third shift. You're coming home from the second shift. You're driving the 18-wheeler with Keith Mortensen. And I love us. We're the best. We're the ones who get things done. When did you know you didn't fit in? 888-688-9258. There's Gary Arnell, who has the food item that absolutely does not fit in. This is the best story. This is the greatest story of the week.
Walter, this is really, you know, first of all, this is a New Jersey-centric story because it has to do with pork roll and Taylor ham and ice cream. So you want to talk about what doesn't fit in. This doesn't fit in. There's a farm in New Jersey called Windy Brow Farm. And it's an ice cream company, and they have announced the first in their line of only in Jersey flavors. Now, you got to remember that Taylor ham is really germane to New Jersey, and it's really a regional type of food. And anyway, what this is, I find this to be repulsive and repugnant, all right? It's only in Jersey, and it's caramelized Taylor ham and challah French toast. And they make it into the taste of an ice cream. So you got something for the Jews, which is the challah bread, and then the non-Jews alike, which is the Taylor ham. But, of course, the Muslims will not eat the pork nor the Orthodox Jews. Now, let me explain something to you about this ice cream, Walt. 2.5-gallon container of this ice cream has 2 pounds of Taylor ham and the Taylor ham brand pork roll. How? Ugh! And I'm sure that there are some people that will love this, but absolutely, how disgusting is that? And there are other disgusting foods that are out there as well from other restaurants. There's a national restaurant chain, Walt, Villa Italian Kitchen. They experimented with a pumpkin spice pizza. It's made using hand-tossed dough. This is legitimate stuff. Pumpkin pie filling. nutmeg, clove, cinnamon, and mozzarella cheese melted on top. Ugh! Disgusting, in the Gary Arnell opinion. Cousin's Maine Lobster, Orlando. Vanilla ice cream with chunks of Maine lobster. What? Crony Burger, the Teak Neighborhood Grill. These are legitimate things that are out there now that obviously they did some focused research, Walt, and they realized that some people like this stuff. Listen to this now. It's a French donut tossed with cinnamon sugar and served with a half-pound Angus burger topped with maple pepper bacon, smoked Gouda cheese, which I think is disgusting in and of itself, Gouda cheese, and an over-medium egg. So a French donut with all of this. I got two others for you. The Outpost Neighborhood Kitchen, a waffle topped with candied bacon ice cream, a bourbon maple syrup, and more candied bacon on top. And in New York, the East Village Mexican restaurant has tacos, enchiladas, and black ants. You give the black ant guacamole a try. If you're feeling even more adventurous, you give the grasshopper-crusted shrimp a shot as well. Now, I want to ask you a question, Walter. Do you remember you and I had, I guess it was a lunch in Chinatown of Philadelphia, correct?
You were the only person at the radio station who was hospitable toward me, yes.
So, and I can't understand why, but I remember when we were in Chinatown and we went to this restaurant and they had all of these, and you see this some places, the ducks hanging in the window. Now, I find that to be repulsive. And then if you walk one restaurant down, they have the breaded frog's legs in the window as well. Now, first of all, you'll never see anybody from PETA anywhere near any of these establishments. But it was I just found it to be repulsive, like French fries and ice cream, ketchup and pizza. And one final note. You know the town of Manayunk, which is in a suburb of Philadelphia, and I dined with a friend of mine there who was working with me at WPHT at the time, and she tried to convince me to eat a hamburger on a breakfast waffle with mayo and maple syrup. Disgusting! And this was on their menu. So misfits, I don't know, I guess some of them like these types of food combinations, but the day that you and I went to lunch outside of, or in Philly in Chinatown, left an indelible mark on me. So.
I'm sorry I traumatized you, at least in the food
way. Traumatized me.
This is a great misfit menu. This is terrific work, Gary Arnell. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. A misfit menu. That's spectacular. Starting with Taylor Ham Ice Cream. Taylor Ham Ice Cream. You couldn't get more joisy than that. I need advice for the 15-year-old's Sweet 16 party. And I also want to know, when did you know in your life, as a kid, as a grown-up, at work, when did you know you didn't fit in? You're listening to me. There's no way in hell you fit in. 888-688-9258. That's my phone number, 888-688-WALT. There's Kathy in Florida. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi. What? Is Kathy on the air with me? Are we in a break?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Why did you say clear?
I was calling about the Sweet 16 party.
Kathy, in Florida, give me advice about the Sweet 16 party. I asked for advice about how do I deal with my 15-and-a-half-year-old and her... her desire for like a $10,000 Sweet 16 party. How do I deal with that, Kathy?
Well, here goes. I have a daughter that had a Sweet 16 party about 2 years ago. We have a renovated barn on our property, and I said, we have the space. Why don't we just have it here? So she finally... after a little bit of encouragement, decided to invite 30 of her friends. I promised her that I would have it professionally decorated, and then it was catered. And everybody had a great time. Now, fast forward 2 years, and she is on one of 10 girls on the court for prom queen. Lo and behold, she wins. Her friends didn't win, and they all turned on her because there was such jealousy. So you don't put a ton of money into a Sweet 16 party with the idea that maybe your friends are going to turn on you 2 years later.
That is spectacular advice, Kathy. That is spectacular advice. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. 15-year-old wants like a $10,000 Sweet 16 party. How am I going to swing that? What's a reasonable expectation? What is your experience in giving Sweet 16 parties? And how do I manage her? Is that too much? Have I asked for too much? Plus, you get to play the cash call jackpot. And because sometimes on a big talk show, you can run two topics at once, I'd like to know when you knew you didn't fit in. You are a midnight misfit. You are part of the club here. And if you'd like to really be part of the club, I will send you a Midnight Misfit card with a decoder on it. And starting next week, we're going to give out secret codes that you can only decode with your Midnight Misfit decoder card. Send me an email, walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com, with your snail mail address, and we'll send you one of those cards. This is Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Stacy, and I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. This is Westwood One.
Doesn't fit in. Sterling on Sunday.
All right, now, do you know who Abby Lee Miller is? She was this very fat woman who hosted a show on Lifetime called Dance Moms. She was in charge of a dance studio in the outskirts of Pittsburgh. Not the best part of Pittsburgh, but the outskirts of Pittsburgh. And at the outskirts of Pittsburgh and the best parts of Pittsburgh, they only listen to one station.
1020
That's all they listened to. Abby Lee Miller hosted this show called Dance Moms. It was about the moms of these 12-year-old girls who were little sticks, little skinny girls who could dance. Abby Lee Miller was the choreographer and the dance instructor, and she was very loud. So the whole show was about this obese woman screaming at skinny 12-year-old girls. That's the whole show. Went on for season after season. And then Abby Lee Miller made a mistake. She filed for bankruptcy. She lied in the bankruptcy. She was convicted and sent to jail. She just got out of jail. In my opinion, it was the stupidest thing in the world to put Abby Lee Miller in jail. Who the heck cares? Who cares? But now she's trying to find herself. And remember, Abby Lee is a screamer. She's trying to find herself. And recently, she met with the Dalai Lama to find her spiritual center.
Well, Jesus Christ said that today's world population, 7 billion.
Get out!
Oh, my God. Louder. Louder.
Get out!
Louder. Louder.
Go! Fly away, guard. Fly away!
Quantum physics in the West, something new. In this country, 2,000 years ago, already developed that concept. It is very true.
Just go. Shut up. You're such a wuss. Just wait a minute, 1 second, please. Can you hit me? Please hit me.
Distorted, very distorted view. Distortedly, the reality. So in order to know the distorted sort of view or concept, you have to know the reality.
Studio, you idiot. Stay dope. If every mother walked into every studio and
business. You don't know anything about that. You work for someone else.
So anything which brings happiness is good.
It's not about what you want. I don't know who you are, but you shouldn't be in this dress. Are you
right? I brought her in here with me.
I know, but why are you in here? You're
I
in this
came
school
in here.
Suddenly? You didn't ask. You didn't say, excuse
matter.
Me, Abby, could I speak to you?
Here's
you
the
just,
thing.
I want.
I came
I
in
want
here
you
to be
here.
A good sport. So I better be a good sport.
All right, how do I deal with the 15-year-old wanting a $25,000 Sweet 16 party? There's Billy in New Jersey. Hi, Billy. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Stop saying Jersey. Only Tom Kane said it like that, you know, the governor way back in the day.
He's dead, isn't he?
No, I don't think so, and his son's still in the government. So, but anyway, to get to your point, Walt, I just did this for... You know, that ugly, unattractive wife of mine, and I threw her a surprise 40th birthday party, which is kind of the same thing, you know? You're going to get away with this for around $500. Your local VFW hall and or your volunteer firefighting hall, this is what they do on the side. It's usually $50 to $150 to rent the hall for the night. All right? There you go. That's done. You got the hall. Food, you go to three or four fast food establishments, and they're kids, and this is what they want to eat. You say, yes, I'd like everything on the dollar menu times four. So you got your nuggets, you got your burgers, you got your fries, you got your little knickknacks, you got your little twisty cinnamon things. Bring them over like an hour or two before the party. Put them under the little heat lamps or the little stupid candles under them platters you got when you're at a buffet or whatever. There. What are you talking, $150 right there? Everybody's going to eat, and it's all the crap that they like to eat. And if you want to message us, I have the most awesome DJ that we're acquaintance with and grew up with that does it on the side, and he has a wonderful sound system for $200 for the night. There you go. Party done. What do you think,
Did
Walt?
You do this? Did you do that for your wife's 40th, the VFW hall?
We actually did the local fire hall.
And Did you do the fast food?
I did a little bit of the fast food, but her mother's more Italian than I'd like to admit, so she cooked a lot of stuff and put them in crock pots for everybody.
Wow.
So,
and when your daughter turns 16, that's going to work?
Well, if she wants a sweet 16 party, that's what's going to work, or it doesn't. I mean, come on. You know what I tell them? I say, what's that, Walt?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, she'll like the sweet 16 party if that's what it is. You know why? Because I say, hey, do you like hot water? Do you like to read under these lights? Were you warm this winter? Okay. Enjoy your party and go dance and eat your chicken nuggets or what have you.
Billy, you're the best. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. When did you know you didn't fit in? Or, other topic, how do I tell the 15-year-old she's not getting a $10,000, $15,000 Sweet 16 party? That's crazy to me. There's Alex in Arkansas listening on KARN. Hi, Alex. Alex, are you there? Where's that?
I'm here.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, I do believe I know the audio clip and the actress.
All right, let's play a cash call contest. Here's the audio clip. If you know it, you win a prize announcement.
I think you're so amazing. You save people's lives and take zero credit for it.
Who do you think that is, Alex?
Well, she was recently in the news for a sex call, and she played Chloe Sullivan on Smallville. That would be Allison Mack.
Alex, congratulations. You are absolutely right. You've won a prize announcement.
New Superstar Lax, Borden's new non-fat dry milk. Does it say Superstar Lax now homogenized smooth?
Homogenized.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-9258. This Nexium, Allie Mack is allegedly part of this Nexium cult, an upstate New York cult, where hundreds, maybe thousands of women went to be hypnotized, mesmerized, and become sex slaves of this schlubby, pudgy guy. And I hate the fact that these women are labeled victims, and I hate the fact that they are called sex slaves. This is what they are. They're idiots. Let me tell you who a victim is. A victim was an African who was brought to America to be a slave. That's a victim, and that's a slave. And a criminal, someone else who is a victim, is your grandmother or your wife who's raped by an illegal alien from Mexico. That's a victim. These people who went into this cult in upstate New York, and this has been going on for 10 years or more, called NXIVM, these people who go into this cult, these people are volunteers. And although everything that we've heard about what happened at the cult and how they ate 800 calories a day and some of them were branded and some of them had to have sex with the leader of the cult, every one of them volunteered. And although I find all of that repulsive, I find all of the things that happened there to be unattractive and unappealing. And it's not up to me to decide if they were criminal acts. But the fact is that I don't think the people who ran the cult should be convicted of anything, because they didn't go on the street, capture them, kidnap them, throw them in the back of a truck, and make them come. These people came off the street themselves as volunteers. Therefore, they're not slaves. They are not victims. They came into this NXIVM cult of their own volition, and then they agreed to do incredibly stupid things that now they regret. So they are victims of regret, and they are victims of their own poor choices, and they're victims of going to upstate New York. I went to college in Syracuse, and let me tell you what's in upstate New York. Pizza, dinosaur barbecue, buffalo wings. That's it. There's nothing else up there. Nothing. So they volunteered to go to upstate New York. They volunteered to enter this group of people. They volunteered to eat 800 calories a day. And they volunteered to be branded. And they volunteered to have sex with a goofball. That's what he is, a goofball. I'm sorry. They are, in fact, guilty of being stupid. And it's very conflicting and confusing to me, that Me Too nonsense. This is a whole group of people who volunteered to be Me Too'd. This is a whole group of thousands of people, apparently, who have volunteered to be treated inappropriately. And it gets a little confusing when you have women who are smart, of means, went to college. They choose to go into this organization, and now they're like, oh my gosh, we're treated poorly. No, there's a door. You could leave. At no time in any of the news reports did it say any of these women were locked in. Any of these people couldn't just leave. Oh, but they were brainwashed. Ooh, really? Because I know when there's too much activity around me and I get distracted and it's hard for me to know what to do next, I leave. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. All right, 888-688-9258. I'd like to talk to you about how do I deal with my 15-year-old daughter who wants like a $10,000, $25,000 sweet 16 party. I just think that's too much. What are your guidelines for a sweet 16 party? That's topic number one. Topic number two is, when did you know you didn't fit in? I always find these examples of when I knew I didn't fit in. I thought I was a WASP, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I am not. I am Catholic. I was raised as a Catholic. And I didn't realize what an incredible amount of difference there is, having raised in a high school with predominantly people who are Jewish, Italian, and Irish. Public school, Italian, Jewish, and Irish. I went to this party when I was in my 20s, where I really felt that I didn't fit in. It was one of those times where I felt darn sure I didn't fit in, but it didn't dawn on me right away. I was with my girlfriend at the time was this preppy girl from Manhattan who went to private schools, and her father was a show business figure of note and power. But she was a very humble, sweet woman, and she still is. as was her sister and her mother. They were a sweet, kind family, even though they were well-connected. So well-connected that when we went to Bergdorf Goodman's, the doorman knew her name. You know, the Bergdorf's in Manhattan has a doorman. Well, the doorman knew her name. And when we went to the fancy 21 Club restaurant on her 21st birthday, they provided her with a cake that said 21 at 21. This was a whole different world than the public school that I went to. It was a whole different world. But again, they were very sweet people. She and her parents were kind as could be, and they made it very comfortable for me. And I was privileged. However, she had these very private school preppy friends. And we get an invitation from about six people, an engraved invitation, that invites us to a party on the water in Greenwich. You ever been to Greenwich, Connecticut? It's built on the water. I don't know what water it is. It's the rich people bay. You know, the Bay of Wealth. It's built on the Bay of Wealth. And the rich people who work in New York, they live in Greenwich, Connecticut, because it's the closest town in Connecticut, and Connecticut has far better tax situation than New York. I put on my preppy clothes. What does that mean? I put on my topsiders, my khaki pants, and my navy blue sports jacket and my white shirt, and I try to sort of spray down my hair so it doesn't flop all around, right? And we go to this party with other 20-year-olds on the water in Greenwich. And I realize that when I get to this party on the water in Greenwich, that there are white chairs, those white Appalachian chairs, in circles. So we're sitting in these circles. And there's a buffet of food with a white tablecloth. And I'm looking at the food, and the food is on white plates. And the food is white meat turkey and white meat chicken and white napkins. And the beverages are also white. Vodka and gin and white wine. I think white wine was the most exotic, diverse food that they had. And now everybody's talking about what their day. Now, when you and I meet and I say to you, what do you do for a living? You're going to say, well, I'm a stockbroker or I'm a doctor or a dentist. Well, that's not how they talk. The way these high-class WASPs at Greenwich, Connecticut spoke was very different. Right, Michael Ewing? Very different. I'd look at somebody and say, well, what do you do? Where do you work? And they would say, I work in the city. Okay. And they'd look at each other and go, oh, I work in the city too. Oh, I work in the city. All right, now they're drinking the vodkas and they're drinking the gins and they're eating the white turkey and the white meat. I'm like, bored out of my mind because all anyone is saying is I work in the city. It goes around again. And one of them says to the other, in the city, whereabouts do you work? Oh, I work downtown. Well, that's code for I work on the financial district. I work on Wall Street. I work for a bank. Now they're all talking about, oh, do you know Morgan at Chase? Oh, yes, I know Morgan at Chase. We belong to the same lunch club. Lunch club? I go to the deli, order corned beef on rye with too much mustard. Lunch club? They're talking in this whole code of and remember, they're 25. They're talking like they're 65 at the country club that they belong to for 50 years. But they, in fact, have belonged to a club for 50 years. It's called the Upper Class Eastern Establishment WASP Club. And I realize as they're speaking that I do not belong to the Upper Class WASP Club. I'm wearing the khakis. I'm wearing the topsiders. I'm wearing the white socks and the Brooks Brothers shirt and the Brooks Brothers jacket. But I don't really belong, do I? Because every second I'm there, I feel as though my nose is getting a little bigger. Not because I'm lying, but because it's a Middle European nose, not an Anglo-Saxon, Denmark, Sweden nose. It's a little bigger. And I feel like I'm perspiring just a little more than they are. And now it comes to me, and they say, well, Walter, where do you work? And I got it. I said, oh, in the city. I work in the city. And now Muffy and Brad and Chad, they're all looking at me. And one of them says, well, where in the city do you work? Well, I work at Rockefeller Center. Oh. Is there a Chase office at Rockefeller Center? Is there a J.P. Morgan Chase office at Rockefeller Center? I'm like, no, no. And they talk about other things, about the weather, very big on the weather, and how good the shrimp are. Right, there's always big piles of shrimp at these WASP parties. And there's vodka, gin, gin on the rocks, gin with a twist. That's what they're all drinking. I'm sitting there, and finally, and I know I have the most interesting job among the group because I'm not an analyst at J.P. Morgan. I'm working in show business, baby. I'm working in show business. I think I'm going to nail it. I think when they come to me and say, where do you work and what do you do, I'm going to be the star of this conversation. I will be the star. Well, Walter, what do you do in Rockefeller Center? Which company do you work for? Do you work for Chemical Bank, Citibank? Which bank do you work for there? No, I work at NBC. And they all, like, are taken aback. All these 25-year-old Muffies and Biffs and Brads and Chads are all taken aback. What? Like, they had seen Satan. They had seen Satan on the horizon of the water in Greenwich, Connecticut. Oh, NBC, NBC. I think I'm going to be a star. And instead, I can see them pulling back and withdrawing from me. And finally, Muffy leans forward, and she looks at me with those ice blue eyes and that properly coiffed at Kenneth's blonde streaked hair and the little creases from her Brooks Brothers white button-down blouse and the hoop pin, the round hoop pin, the gold hoop pin on her blouse, you know, and the penny loafers, and all of it's just like her great-grandmother wore on the water in Greenwich. And Muffy looks at me. And she says, NBC, you work at NBC. There isn't much security in that sort of work, is there? And I miss a beat, and I look at her, and I've met my match. And I said to her, when I realized that I wasn't going to fit in, and I couldn't fit in, and it didn't matter what I said to Muffy on the water in Greenwich, I said, there's security in anything if you're good at it. Sterling on Sunday.
Live and nude in the laundry room, Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's very important for us to stay in touch during the week. And here's how we do that. You send me an email, walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. Every email I get gets answered, and you can request a Midnight Misfit membership card so you can be like Rosemary Furlong or Dee Wells or Paul Jacobs, Neil Pohl. And now you finally belong to something besides the Home Shopping Network. Because if you work on the third shift or the second shift like me, we're different. Nobody understands us except each other. You can spend a lifetime trying to fit in, and it's a waste of time. Because the people who work during the day, the people who actually generate those forms and fill the vending machines, they don't understand why we work when we do. And yet at 2 in the morning, there you and I are standing, fighting with the vending machine to take a dollar when the food should be free. The food should be free. Free the food. Smartest companies in the world are the ones that provide free food, like Bloomberg. Bloomberg provides a great 24-hour free food buffet. That's what you and I should have all the time. You send me an email. It gets answered. Walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. Walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. Well, there it goes. It's done. We're already done. I can't believe it. Here's the best message I've got. The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. Thanks so much. Have a great week.